and how we are blessed to be a blessing with our time, with our money, with everything we have. So I'm going to read out a passage from Philippians 4, verses 10 to 20. So it's on page 1181 in the Red Bibles. 1181. There we go. Okay, so 1181, Philippians 4, verses 10 to 20. I'm just going to read it out here. So it says, "Thanks for their gifts. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To God and to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Yeah, so that's our passage today. And the title of my talk this morning is "A Disciple is Called to be Generous." And we're called to be generous not only with money, but also with our time and hospitality. Some people have a specific gift of giving financially, but we're all called to be generous. Why should we be generous, you ask? Well, the first reason I've put down is that it enables ministry. There's no way around it. Ministry costs money. Bill Hybels once was asked, "How much ministry can you do with $200? He was trying to figure it out. He thought it might be a trick question. But the answer simply was $200 worth. Now, obviously, we need to try and stretch the money we have as far as we can, as it can go. But ministry still costs money. It'd be like if we invited somebody to come to the Alpha course and they came in and the place was dark and cold. They wouldn't stick around very long, no matter how welcoming we were. So as God's people are generous, the kingdom of God advances and people are blessed. The body of Christ is built up. In today's passage, Paul thanks the Philippians for their generosity towards him. Paul's mission was possible because of their support. And I just want to take this opportunity to thank each one of you who've been generous with your finances in supporting CORE. Because of that, I've got to live out my dream. I've got to follow my dream. I've got to follow my passion in Kids Club and in what I do each Saturday. And it's been absolutely wonderful. And I just want to take this opportunity to thank you for your generosity. It's just like today there are many missionaries around the world. who are supported by Christians who are generous. Johnny Clark was here a few weeks ago. He heads up YWAM in Ireland. YWAM couldn't exist without the generosity of a lot of Christians around the world. YWAM does amazing work in lots of countries all over the world. In today's passage, we're looking, I think, you know, countless people were blessed through Paul's ministry. Churches were started, churches grew. It was the start of the Christian church as we know it. The second reason I want to talk about this morning for being generous is that we are disciples of Jesus. And so we're called to follow his example in being generous. It might seem simplistic, but actually learning to be like Jesus is anything but simple. It takes a lifetime to work it out. When Jesus was here on earth, everything he did was generous. He poured his life out for people, for the people around him. He was like a servant. When Jesus did a miracle, he was always generous. His first miracle was at a wedding. I'm sure you all know, very, very aware of it. He made this really nice wine, and he didn't just make a little. There was plenty of it. I worked it out, actually. It works out at 6 30-gallon jars, okay? That's 180 gallons. You put that in bottles, that's 908 bottles of wine. I don't know about you, but my image of God and that kind of get a bit confused. But our God is a generous God. 908. When you look at the miracle of the loaves and fishes, Jesus was generous. There was lots left over. You know, Jesus could have made just enough, but he didn't. He made so much that there were basketfuls left over. He made a point that our God is a generous God. With the miracle of the catch of fish, they caught so much that they could hardly lift it into the boat. It even points out in the text that the fish were large. He didn't give them little minnows. They were large fish. And there were 153 of them between seven guys. Again, Jesus displayed the generosity of God. And at the end of his time here, Jesus gave his life for all of us. The ultimate act of generosity. In Romans 5, verses 7 to 8, it says, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And we're following Jesus, who was very generous with everything. We're called to do the same. The third reason I want to talk about this morning is that it's actually good for us. It's good for us to be generous. It can be very freeing. Being generous with money, the money that God blesses us with, it releases us from the hold it might have on us. I once felt, some years ago, I felt called to give someone money, some money to someone. And I asked God, you know, if it was for something specific. And he said to me, it was more about me giving it away than the other person receiving it. It's a very liberating thing to give away money. The more you give away, the less hold it has on you. In Matthew 6, verse 24, it says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And if we give generously as God directs us, we are clearly serving God, not money. In Matthew 6, verse 19, it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." I don't want to be anti-money this morning. It says in 1 Timothy 6:10 that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's not the money in and of itself. Some people have the gift of making money, and that's a good thing. Of course, they're called to be generous with it, as we all are. Some people may be called to give more than a 10% tithe because they have the gift of making money. Paul says in today's passage, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So are we happy in all circumstances? Am I? Paul had learned that. He'd learned, I think it's a very challenging thing. But I believe that we can. We can be happy in all circumstances if money or material things don't have a hold on us. And how do we break that hold? It's by giving it away, by being generous. So, what stops us from being generous? I think sometimes it can be fear of not having enough for ourselves, enough time or enough money. We may think that if we're generous, we'll end up suffering because of that in some way. God tells us in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." And in Luke 6, verse 38, it says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use will be measured to you." God consistently tells us throughout the Bible that if we are generous with what we have, He will be generous with us. He even asks us to test Him in this. In Malachi 3:10 it says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it." We can also feel that our time is precious, and if we give it up for God, we're going to lose out somehow. I'd like to tell you about a member of the kids club team. A guy called Adam. He'd been a member of the kids volunteers in the kids club team. He gave up all his Saturdays all throughout his degree course, including the time coming up to exams even. He only took one Saturday off just before his finals, and he got a first. So I knew that God would reward him for all his service. He was generous with his time, and God will not let us lose out if we serve Him. Now, obviously Adam worked hard towards his degree. He's a bit of a genius, but he didn't lose out because he gave up his Saturdays. So if you want to get a first, join the kids club team. Now, joking aside, in these times of recession, there may be more and more people in position to give their time rather than their money. Both are as valuable. Bill Wilson uses an analogy of a woman going into a dress shop looking at dresses, and she finds one that she really likes. And what's the first thing she looks at? It's the price tag. And what so often happens is that the desire to have the dress doesn't change, but the willingness to pay the price does. In giving our time, we may want to see great things happen in this church and in the kingdom of God at large, but are we willing to pay the price in giving our time and our money? There's a friend of mine, Helen Burke, who used to come to CORE years ago. At the time, CORE was meeting in Werburgh's, St. Werburgh's, down the road, just opposite Burdock's there. And there was a huge fundraising campaign on at the time, and to restore this building that we sit in today. 1.6 million was needed. Doesn't sound like a lot when Janie, you turn on the news, they're talking about billions. But it was a lot of money, and it is a lot of money. But Helen was working in a job at the time. She probably wasn't getting that much. And she put on hold. She got a chance, an opportunity to buy a one-bedroom apartment at the time. And she gave up that. She put it on hold to give sacrificially to CORE. And, you know, it was amazing that she gave a 3-year pledge to CORE. And the very day, 3 years later, that her pledge was up was the very same day that she got the keys, signed the papers, and received the keys to a two-bedroom house 3 years later. Helen was actually willing to pay the price. She was willing to lay down her dream of her own apartment to see this building restored. And it's because of people like her who gave sacrificially and generously that we can meet in this building today. Sometimes we have to lay down things for God in order to be generous. What can also stop us from being generous is we think that being generous is all fine and well for people who have lots of money. But it's actually not about how much money we have to give. That's beside the point. It's the principle of giving and being generous. There was a time when I first joined CORE, and I wasn't earning very much at all, and I wasn't tithing either. And after hearing Willie Stewart preach on tithing, I felt convicted by God to tithe. And it was an amazing thing. I was working in Palmerston in a company that makes canoes and paddles and carbon fiber and all kind of high-tech materials. And an amazing thing happened. The company wasn't doing well, and my boss got a business consultant in. And this business consultant advised him that he should actually go and work in Intel, and that he should make me manager, and that he should give me a 50% raise. And this all happened within 2 or 3 months of me starting to tithe in CORE. So God is true to his word. A 50% raise, if you knew my boss back then, that was a complete miracle. Absolute. So I suppose I also know somebody who is on social welfare, and who hadn't been tithing at all, and they started tithing, and within weeks someone had blessed them with a weekend away that they couldn't have afforded before. So I just want to clarify here, I'm not preaching prosperity theology in any way. It's not a formula that we give and we automatically get, and that can't be our motivation for giving. We shouldn't give to God to gain something. But it's so often that's what happens. We should just be generous with what we have and trust that God will look after us. So finally, I want to talk about how we can overcome what stops us from being generous. I've talked about how the fear of not having enough ourselves can stop us from being generous. What can help us with overcoming this is understanding that God is faithful. We were singing about it this morning. This understanding can come from our own experience, but also from hearing other people's testimonies. This is why we should be brave in coming up to the front of the church here and giving testimony about God's faithfulness in our lives. Last Christmas, Solus After Skills Project, which my wife Sally runs in Basin Lane down the road from here, came within weeks of having to close down due to cutbacks in Dublin City Council. But God worked this 11th hour miracle, as he does, where a company committed to support Solus for 3 years, and then in January, Solus qualified for ongoing government funding. So praise God for that. It's just God is faithful. God's word clearly tells us that he takes care of us when we put our lives into his hands. In Psalm 121 it says, "I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." In Proverbs 3:5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight." Being generous with our money and time has a lot to do with trusting in God, that he is faithful and will look after us. Paul knew this from his own experience, that this was true in the passage today. The words, "My God show that. It says in verse 1, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Do you remember the Celtic Tiger? Seems like a long time ago. Do you remember the way lots of conversations were about property prices shooting up? It was like, people at the time were putting their trust in what we know now was a property bubble. It all seemed so real at the time, but then it all just burst. Who would have thought back then that there would be countless empty apartments and houses around the country in 2010? There's a saying, safe as houses. But I think we've all seen that money and even property isn't something that we can put our trust in. Then there's the old saying, you can bank on it. But I think we all know that's not true. So what really helps us overcome the fear of not having enough is trusting in God and his provision rather than in money or property. So just to finish, it's good for us to be generous with our time and money because, number one, it enables ministry to happen. People hear good news and are brought into God's kingdom. We are following Jesus' example. He was generous with everything he did. And generosity frees us from the hold that money and possessions might have on us. What can stop us from being generous is a fear of not having enough ourselves. But we can overcome this by having a deeper understanding of God's faithfulness and his provision. And ultimately, everything we have is from God anyway. The very air we breathe is from him. It says, you know, in Scripture it says, our lives are not our own. We were purchased by Jesus for God. We owe our lives to him. So let's pray that God will help us to be generous with all that we have. Amen. So that's it from me. We're going to have some prayer ministry up the front here.